The history of the Maya, Mayan gods and Mayan priests. Now, the gods of the Maya during the classic period, remember that's 200 to 900 AD, fall into four categories. Worldly phenomena, that is the gods or mountains, rivers, clouds. Number two, anthropomorphic gods, gods that are human, but they have important characteristics, which is shown in animal form. Example, a human with claws. Third, zoomorphs, humans or animals. And fourth, animals. Now, of the gods, Itzamna was the lord of life, another creating deity, the inventor of books and writing, and patron of science and learning. You could also have Gacamatz and Hurricane as well. Ixchil was the wife of Itzamna, patroness of the moon, childbearing, weaving, medicine, and floods. Then we have Akinchel or Kinch-A, that's the sun god, Apuk, the god of death, Ex-Tra, guardian of the merchants and travelers, Akmen, Ek, the north star, Yam-Kax, the corn god, Chok, the rain god, and Kukulkan, the feathered serpent, white-skinned, bearded god of good. Now, Chok, of course, you find everywhere because water is so essential to the Mayans, particularly for their farming. And drought is one of the worst things that could possibly happen. Now, in addition to the above that I've mentioned, there are hundreds of others, well over 300. They covered everything from suicide to dancing. Now, the reason for so many of these gods was that the Mayans believed it was beneath the dignity and the power of the creator god be involved with petty day-to-day operations such as rain, sun, and harvest. When you have the fall of the classic period, some areas retain the same gods, but you'll find other gods coming in. This is due to the Toltec invasion that comes in later. So some of the gods of the Maya during the post-classic period up to the arrival of the Spanish would be Tonacatacuilte, the male creator god, Quetzalcoatl, the god of good feathered serpent, Wewecayotl, the god of dance, Calchecuhtli, the water goddess, Tecicalta, moon god, Mayoel, goddess of drink, Ixculti, fire god, Mictlantecuhtli, god of death, Zoctopuli, earth goddess, Tlactacucul, fire goddess, and Xiaquetzal, flower goddess. Now you can usually tell if they're Toltec because they tend to have this C-U-H-T-L-I on the back of the name. That means Lord or God. The Aztecs will use that in some cases, but frequently you will see the C-O-A-T-L ending, which again means God. So you have all of these different characters and they're kind of mixed together, but in the classic period, you have that one set with Itzamna. Now, the priest class is very important during this time period, and obviously in any of these time periods, because so much of what goes on from a sacrificial belief is tied to these priests, and they have, quite frankly, the power. They're the ones who kind of keep everything going. They're the ones who support the great rulers. But of course, the problem is if the priests are responsible for communication with the gods and things go wrong for a long period of time, this can possibly lead to the people saying maybe it's the priest's problem. So let's start with Aokenmai or Akinmai. Now, this is the highest ranking of the priests, such as they also held the highest social status during the classic period. Now, their jobs included divination, prophecy, medicine, the execution of ceremonies, and their other important aspects were instructing candidates for the priesthood in astronomy, math, glyph writing, calendars, and rituals, as well as assigning new priests to vacant offices. Now, there are never a lot of these people. They held the sacred knowledge for the most part, and then it's subdivided down to different specialists. So you have the Chilen. Now these were prophets, and their main duty was to make almanacs. They're also to interpret mystical omens and predict future events. Now, they received their visionary messages from the gods while a drug-induced trance took place. Their prophecies were then interpreted by a group of assembled priests, much like the Greeks did with the Delphi Oracle. Now, you would go to Delphi, and the Delphi Oracle would be, you would ask it a question. She would then inhale the fumes from the area, and then would go into seizures and do all sorts of things. And of course, the priest sat around and looked at what she was doing. Did she throw up? Was there bile in it? How did she act? What did she say? She didn't say specifically. That was interpreted by the other priests and then read out to you. This is similar to what happens here. Now, of course, you say, well, what did they use? Now, in the case of the Mayans, they have all sorts of things they could use. A psilocybin mushroom. Marijuana. Actually, the alkaline content of the soil in the Yucatan is such that you could get an induction with regular tobacco. But this is very, very difficult for people because the Delphi Oracle periodically died in the process, and this apparently happens as well. Then you have another group of priests. These are called the Nakoms, and they're the priests given the job of cutting out the hearts of the human sacrifice victims. It's very specialized. This has to be done correctly. You don't want to botch this up because the gods are not going to be happy. Then you have the Chaks. Now, these are elderly assistants of the Nakom, and it was their job to hold the arms and the legs of the sacrificial victims. Now, in some cases, it's believed that when the Chulin became so unable to do what they were doing, this is what they would end up doing. They would end up just simply holding the sacrificial victims down. And then you have a group called the Amen. This is the group of priests that specialized in prayer, making and treating, you know, for illnesses, making medicines and treating illnesses. So there's quite an array of these specialists. But again, there's not a lot of them. So if you have the collapse of the whole community and you decapitate the leadership, it's going to be a little difficult to make all of this work. Now, there's a lot to be said about sacrifice. You can sacrifice animals. You can sacrifice all sorts of different things. You can even burn clothing. But in Mayan Mesoamerican creation, the concept of creation between human and God was a reciprocal relationship. The earth and its creatures were created through a sacrificial act of the gods. The human beings, in turn, were required to strengthen and nourish the gods, and that nourishment is blood. And the sacrifices play a very important role in the Mayan ritual. Certain times of the year, you could use anything, turkeys, dogs, turtles, and you could sacrifice those in large numbers. But the supreme sacrifice was a human being. Now, early in the classic period, this was really the only time that human sacrifice truly took place, and that was at daybreak. The belief was that when Akinchel, the sun god, when he went from one side of the area to the other, he then went into the underworld. And going into the underworld, that was controlled by another god, the god of death. And he had to die and rot. So by the time the new sunrise is supposed to take place, he may only be a skeleton. He may be too weak in order to come up. So a human sacrifice can be a willing sacrifice, but most frequently, these are war captives, people captured during the brief three-month period in which fighting took place. They would then be taken and sacrificed. So it's important to know sunrise and sunset and times of the year and everything else, which is why they're so freakish on calendars. And the belief was that this would transfer the body and blood of the sacrificial victim to the sun, and up it would come. So this was probably done in every Mayan major city in the whole Yucatan. So you go, well, that's a lot of people. Well, not compared to what the Aztecs would be doing, but it is an important thing. Now, if you are a willing sacrifice, the belief was willing sacrifices did not go to Xbalba, they did not go to the underworld. They went up the rung towards an area near the gods and lived as servants. Now, the most famous of the sacrifices is, of course, the sacred well at Chichen Itza. And this is the only place you find this. Now, this is a very rare sacrifice. This is usually only occurred at times of extreme disaster, mostly droughts, but it could be famine, it could be plague, could be an earthquake, and it could be a hurricane. The object of the sacrifice was the human sacrifice, the human victim, was the sent to the god in charge of whatever was wrong and ask for help. This is the main reason why most of the time the priests spent a lot of time preparing the victim, because they had to know who they were supposed to go and see, what they were supposed to say. And frequently they used good-looking women. The belief was they wanted to attract the attention of the gods. And these could be willing sacrifices as well. And so they believed that the Mayan well at Chichen Itza was like a twilight zone. You'd be thrown into the water, you would then go down, drown, and end up where the gods were. They would then come and take you, and you would go to the god that you were looking for and tell them what was happening. Perhaps, since it's rained, Chalk was too busy playing the ball game there with the other gods and forgot all about mankind. And we get this reminder. Well, the Mayans said that after 3 days, the victim would come back. Well, nobody ever came back. But that's easily explained if you're using good-looking women. They would just simply say they decided that she was worthy of staying with them. Now, we know that in the post-classic period, this was still done, but the rules changed. If the person was thrown in, and they could use men at this time in the post-classic period, if you were thrown in and you were still able to be on top of the water, you were still alive, floating on top of the water, they would bring you out. But it was such a rare occasion that when it did happen, it was incredibly well celebrated. And there are, of course, all kinds of others. But the Mayans are not anywhere near as bloodthirsty as the Aztecs are, for heaven's sakes. So that's the gods of the classic period. That's the priests and some of the sacrifices. The sources for this are The Maya by Cole, The Civilization of the Maya by Anaquin, The Popo Vuh, In Search of the Maya by Brunhaus, Outline Dictionary of Mayan Glyphs by Gates, Incidents in the Travels of the Yucatan by Stevenson, New World Archaeology by Scientific American, Aztec and Maya by Phillips, Yucatan Before and After the Conquest by Delanda, Rise and Fall of the Maya by Mayan Civilization by Thompson, and Maya History and Religion by Thompson. So I hope you enjoyed that, and as always, don't forget to come by the website, summahistorica.com or historyaccordingtobob.com, and ask a question, leave a comment, check out our merchandise, and if you like what we're doing, please feel free to support us. Thank you very much.